Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1145. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode, the whole crew, by the way, the whole crew. We have Paris Lilly here in the house. What's up, Paris?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up? What's up? And also, Pete Rock. What's up, Pete?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Everything is good, man. What's up with you guys, man? How's the weekend so far for you guys, man?
I don't know about you guys, but it's I'm enjoying the weather out here, Switzerland. It turned a little rainy today. But the last few days it's been nice and sunny. Got the tank top on because it's warm, and pretty much enjoying it, man. I'm enjoying it. It's a good week.
Nice. And you, Paris, everything's good? Have you playing anything? You've been taking a break or what?
No, everything's good. I mean, today's 4th of July as we're recording this, so after this, you know, we'll go do some stuff with some family and friends, but everything's good.
Now, I do have a question for you, Paris. Have you continued playing the Pirates game from Sea of Thieves?
Yes, I have.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, because the first quest we completed together, and it was actually pretty fun. I got to finish the rest of the quest, man. So we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, so you haven't completed? So you haven't done like Tall Tale 2 and all that?
No, I haven't yet.
So here's one thing. If there's any ding I can put against Sea of Thieves, this Pirate's Life expansion, Tall Tale 2 is ridiculously buggy. Unfortunately, like I was going through it and it was restarting me, and there's just a lot of issues going on with it, teleporting into different parts of it and the whole thing. But the other ones after that are fine. Like overall, it's great. But just anyone that's jumping in, just know they still need to patch that Tall Tale 2. There's definitely an issue there.
Okay, good to know. Hopefully, I'll do that this week. We'll see. But we're going to have a couple topics. You know, it's summer. We're going to keep this episode kind of short, but we'll see. It all depends on the conversation we have in this one. So, all right, but head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, also post a review. And if you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, before I go to this topic that I have here, some breaking news. I just saw this a couple minutes ago, that if you go to Apex Legends, there is a group of hackers that actually hacked the game, and they're promoting a website called Save Timefall. So you'll see it in the game for the PC version, but there's also certain playlists that you can't play because of the hack. So I don't know if this is also happening with Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo Switch version, but that is kind of crazy that the game actually got hacked. Now, it's been a couple weeks that I've been hearing about the game getting hacked and people cheating in the game, and it's very disappointing hearing that. So hopefully Respawn will fix that as soon as possible, because that's very, very disappointing. So just want to say that very quick. So I was reading this discussion, because it's been all over Twitter now for the past couple of days, and I briefly talked about it very quick with Paris, but I definitely want to hear what P also has to say about this. But there's been a lot of indie developers that have been vocal about the relationship working with PlayStation and other companies. But the one that I got to see was that it's been very, very difficult working with PlayStation when it comes to the indies. But and it's been all over the web, also on Twitter. A lot of the major media have been talking about it too. But if you go back, I remember we will go to PlayStation Experience, and I will see PlayStation highlighting indies all the time, especially in that event and also at E3 and other property events too. And it's very disappointing seeing this, that now in 2021 we're seeing this type of conversation with the devs. We haven't heard anything yet about this from Sony, but I just want to get your thoughts about this. P, have you heard about this news at all?
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty much covered my timeline for the last 2 days. So it's real interesting to read, and somewhat mm-hmm. disappointing, because like you said, we've been to E3, we've been to these major events, and we've seen these, you know, how they appear to be embracing indie titles, but then we're hearing from these reports that they're not, right? That they make mm-hmm. it doubly difficult to be a part of their program. So it is disappointing, first and foremost, right? To increase the barrier of entry for these developers and studios, knowing how difficult it is in the first place just to get your title out there. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I want to hear what Sony's side has to say to it, right? Whether that's going to be a legitimate response to the effort, or is it going to be market speak at the end of the day, right? Just to try to quell the drama surrounding them. Knowing Sony, they don't like negative drama. No company really, really likes it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's disappointing to say the least. What do you think, Paris?
My thought on this is, I want to hear what Sony has to say on it first before, you know, we get out the pitchforks and just completely condemn them. Yes, I mm-hmm. obviously believe the things that we've already seen on social media as far as what some of the devs have said. Obviously, Jason Schreier chimed in on this as well, so I'm not taking that lightly or taking away from it, but there's always two sides to every story. So I don't want to immediately just 100% condemn PlayStation as, oh, they've turned their back on indie titles and they no longer support mm-hmm. indies. I mean, obviously at its peak when Geo and Adam Boyles were there, I mean, God, we're looking now probably what, 6-7 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. indies was a huge emphasis at PlayStation. I still think it is. I mean, we got a game of Zakina, which is about to come out. That's a huge indie title that PlayStation is backing. They're supporting, they're marketing, they're talking mm-hmm. about it. We've seen games like Bugsnax, Operation Tango have both been on PlayStation Plus. They've obviously been marketed. They've been talked about. So look, social media loves to overblow things. Of course, you will never make everyone happy. Right. So I think mm-hmm. the devs that are speaking up probably have valid points. We've really not heard anything coming out of the Xbox side, ID at Xbox, or anything coming from Nintendo as far as having similar complaints. That does not mean they do not exist. It's very possible. So I tend to try and tread lightly on this until we get a complete picture, because, you know, it's very easy to jump to conclusions on these type of things without having all the information available.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I do have a question for you guys. Like, if, let's say, this is 100% true for not only with PlayStation, but any other company, how can major companies like that can resolve the situation with the indie devs and make them happy? Do you have any thoughts about that, Paris? Like, if there's anything that they could do, or do you think there should be more communication between them and the team, or what?
I mean, it's hard to say in that sense. I mean, I obviously can't speak for PlayStation on what, because again, I don't want to jump to conclusions when we don't know what the internal process is for onboarding any titles at PlayStation and how they're supposed to be marketed and things like that. We clearly have mm-hmm. seen that something like Xbox, they have ID at Xbox. We know Devolver Digital is a big proponent of, you know, supporting indie titles and marketing them and highlighting them. I simply don't know what it would be. We don't know. I try to be cautious as far as commenting on this stuff when we don't know what the internal practices truly are. We know that we have some developers that are upset with the way they've been treated. Does that mean all of them have been treated that way? I don't know. So I'll throw the question back at you. What do you think they should do?
I think there should be more communication, and maybe new leadership to
but what does that
fix
mean?
The whole situation.
But what does that mean when you say communication and leadership? That's what
communication,
I'm saying.
Communication more of like if an indie is communicating with PlayStation and they want to know like, okay, things that from the business side, how to promote the game, etc., instead of taking a long time, based on what I'm reading from the indie devs, have the communication, go back and forth with the indie developers, and just go back and forth, you know, just to make them feel happy and comfortable, man. Because, you know, we haven't really seen anything of like, during like PlayStation State of Play, have we been seeing the push of indies like
Kena.
Like previous?
Kena.
Well, yeah, of course that's recent, but I'm talking about like. Back then, we should see more of that, you know, or just have a whole video presentation just like
see,
of
I'm,
indie,
I'm
stuff
gonna,
like that. That's
I'm,
what I'm saying. I'm That's
gonna,
my opinion.
I'm
going
to push back on what you're saying right now, because I would say the last few State of Plays have been highlighting indie games. I mean, yeah, they've had the specific one with Ratchet and Clank and Horizon, but the ones before that was about indie games. So this is why I'm saying we need to be careful about, you know, this whole pitchfork. Go after the evil empire. They're doing this wrong. They're doing that wrong when we don't have all the information. And like I said, go back to the last few State of Plays. They've been showing off indie games. So, yes, I'm sure these developers that have spoken up are upset. And I'm not taking away from that at all. But we don't know what the internal process looks like for PlayStation and what their priorities are and what they promise to promote versus what they don't promote. What are the fees? I mean, all that stuff. So I try to be careful with that. So I don't think it's fair to throw out a blanket statement and say that they aren't promoting indie titles when they are.
Well, I know that there is a rumor going around that PlayStation Experience might come back again. I think that will be like the perfect opportunity to change things around and just promote the indies there at the events, because it's been like that previous year. So hopefully that I hope it works out.
The question with that comment right there is we don't know, we being the outsider, right? Whether you're on the media side, blogger, journalist, or just a straight consumer, we don't know what is going on at, if there's going to be a, you know, the next PlayStation Experience, or if it's going to be a State of Play. We don't know the, you know, what's in the background. So it's really difficult to assume or to throw recommendations at a company like Sony and saying they should be doing this, because we don't know. Like Paris said, and we all said, it's hard to judge when we're not on the other side of the fence, seeing what's going on, seeing basically how the sausage is made from Sony's side.
Yeah, and I get it. I just bring it up because the conversations are going around, and this is coming from more from the indie side. So that's why I just, you know, mention it. Just want to have a conversation about that. But it's fine. It's cool. Another thing I want to ask you guys, because I know EA Play is coming up sometime later this month, and there's some news now that Mass Effect 4 and Dragon Age 4 won't be shown at EA Play. What do you think they're going to show at EA Play this year? I know Battlefield we're going to see. There's rumors of the new or a remake of Dead Space coming up. Besides that, do you think they're going to show anything new besides those games right there? I know they're going to highlight those sports games from EA, but what'd you guys think? Paris, what'd you think?
I mean, obviously, they're going to continue to deep dive on Battlefield 2042. The Dead Space rumor, clearly, I would imagine. We'll probably hear more about that skate game that they're working on. Again, knock on wood, I assume we'll probably see more from the Star Wars universe coming from them. I would imagine it would be something with Respawn, maybe Jedi Fallen Order 2 or something like that. But that's kind of my expectation. Obviously, the EA Sports stuff, Madden, things like that.
Yeah, I think maybe Skate will probably get an update about that game. I think that will be the perfect time. It's been a while, so we haven't heard anything about it. So that will be good. What are the chances of maybe a new Titanfall? Do you think that's possible too?
No. I don't think so.
No, they've got too much invested right now with Apex Legends and obviously with the Star Wars title that they've been working on. So it's really difficult to think that, you know, that maybe they've splintered off another section of the group to work on Titanfall. I know now with, you know, obviously with the conversation of the hack going on, but there's a lot of things going on in the background there. I think if I'm not mistaken, they're going to be doing They're going to probably focus a little bit as well on Knockout City. Everybody seems to be loving that game. Danny, I'm still looking. I still want to jump in and play with you in Paris. I don't know if you've been even playing it, Paris. So that's something I think we could have a lot of fun with and jump in and play. From what I understand, I think they are doing something for Unravel and Unravel 2.
Ooh, Unravel. Yeah, it's been a while for the last one was actually really, really good. So
We all loved the original Unravel, you know. I'm very keenly interested on Unravel 2. And then, you know, again, it's gonna be Madden NFL 240, whatever the number it is at right now, right? that's gonna be a big focus for them as well. I'm curious, but if they're not going to, you know, if they're not going to focus on anything, if they're not going to give us any of that other information, what else do they have in the pipeline? You know, we spoke about Dead Space last week, and you know my thoughts on that. So I'm all in on that. But what else does EA have, you know, in the tank that they're working on that they could drop off on us to give everybody the oh my god moment, right?
Yeah. I'm wondering like what else they could. What are the chances of them, of EA showing like a new IP? Because every year, every single time there's an EA play, we get all like excited and hype. And then once they show the presentation, it's like, oh man, they didn't announce this, they didn't show this. So sometimes it gets disappointed, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, I don't want to get too excited, but I do wish that they show something about Skate because I love Skate.
Yeah.
Love Skate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I know it's very early. Because they just announced this last year during the EA play from summer of last year, yeah. So we'll see.
I think there's another one, Lost in Random. I think that they had mentioned last year that was going to be coming out either last year or the year before, and it's supposed to be coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I know it's out on the Steam marketplace for PC, but I think they're gonna drop some more info or give some more information on that.
Yeah, let me ask you, Paris, because. What is it that they're going to show with Battlefield? Because they already showed the gameplay and multiplayer during the Microsoft press conference. Besides that, is there going to be any new other modes that haven't been shown again or what?
Yeah, they're gonna show a new mode at EA Play for Battlefield 2042, and it is not Battle Royale. They were very clear to say that, but that's what EA LA is working on is a new mode. Yeah. There's some rumors out there on what it potentially is. I'll leave it at that.
But, that's good. But you know what? I'm happy that they're not adding Battle Royale because not every game needs to have Battle Royale, you know? So, sure. But I do want some cool multiplayer that's new, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see. Very, very excited. So, is there anything else? I'm trying to remember. By the way, so we've been having this discussion, Paris and I. Paris, we got to talk about it because you said you wanted to bring it up here. So we'll see.
No, I just dared you. If you want to say this crazy thing, go ahead.
Here we go.
No. So look, and I'm gonna keep it, you know, chill. I'm not trying to fight, not trying to argue here, but I did say this to Paris. We were on the phone and I said, we were talking about Halo Infinite and we're like, damn, I wonder if Microsoft is going to release the game November 15th for the 20th anniversary. I said, I hope, you know, and the reason why they haven't announced anything is maybe it's because they want to make sure the development is going smooth, everything is good. And then we'll find out. Paris said to me, no, they're waiting for the announcement of the date of Call of Duty. I think it could be a combination of both, but I'm more of leaning towards the development side. Paris is more of the marketing side. So, Paris, what is your reason saying that what?
I do not like how you just framed that because that is not what you said to me on the phone.
Wait,
you're literally trying to play both sides now. You're adamant that it had nothing to do. Now it's like, oh, it could be both. It's not what you said. That's not what you said.
So go ahead. What I said then. Go ahead.
You said... Go ahead. That they are not afraid of Call of Duty, that it doesn't matter when Call of Duty comes out. They'll pull out Halo when it's ready. And I said they absolutely do not want to put Halo out the same week that Call of Duty comes out. You can't tell me, you can't even, you said, see, it's yes. funny, I have to repeat the phone call instead of you just saying it. But you said, this isn't 2007 anymore. No one's worried about when Call of Duty comes out. They'll put the game out when it's ready. And I would go, that Call of Duty is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It is still the monster. It is the number one selling game every year. You do not want to put your game out the same week that Call of Duty comes out. So Microsoft is not going to put a release date for Halo Infinite until they hear what Activision's going to do with Call of Duty. That's all I said. And you okay. were adamant disagreeing with me that I was wrong.
Yeah, you are wrong. But why? So I will say why? This.
Oh, yeah, please.
I want to ask you this question. So let's make believe during State of Play, Activision finally announced the date of Call of Duty because they have that exclusive marketing deal. Let's say November 15th, yes. let's just make believe, right? When do you think Microsoft will release Halo Infinite then?
November 22nd.
November 20th, a week later. Yep. Isn't it still the same week, the same close time frame of the release of Call of Duty?
That is literally 7 days later. Because, again, since you don't want to give our whole phone conversation now, I will, because this is what you said in the phone conversation.
I said, yes, they're going to release the same week, but go ahead.
And I said to you, why would you want to share the week with Call of Duty as far as your marketing goes and everything that you're trying to do to promote that game? You're going to want to own the week. You don't want to share it with the number one selling game. So, yeah, you're right. They would push it back a week to November 22nd so that when Call of Duty does come out on the 15th, starting November 16th, they're going to start pushing Halo Infinite. That's what I said. And you disagree.
I disagree. I think they will probably, because look, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to release on November 15th.
So if they don't release it there. So again, I will throw it back at you and we will say this officially on the podcast. Yes. If Call of Duty were to say it's coming out on November 15th, you're telling me Microsoft is okay with putting Halo Infinite out on November 15th too?
I think because I brought this up. I think it changed a bit this time around because of Game Pass.
No. Game Pass is irrelevant in this conversation.
What do you mean it's irrelevant, Paris? The game is going to be available because
it's not,
Game Pass is not about the subscription. It's not about the sales. It's not all about the sales, Paris. It's about the engagement. Isn't it about the engagement, Paris?
So you just answered your own question. Now you're not going to get the same engagement that you would if you're sharing marketing week with Call of Duty.
Come on, Paris.
Call of Duty will... Okay, I let you talk. You're not letting me talk.
Go.
Call of Duty will dominate the conversation.
I didn't say no.
It will dominate the conversation the week that it comes out. That's where everyone will be playing. That is where all your engagement will be going. Let's not forget, Halo is coming off a six-year hiatus, and the last game that came out was a disappointment. So do you really want to go up against the 800-pound gorilla? No, they don't want to do that. So I'm telling you right now, let's go back to your pretend. State of Play happens. Call of Duty, Activision says, all right, and Call of Duty is coming out on November 9th or whatever, right? Let's just say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be shocked if the next day, all of a sudden, magically, Halo Infinite has a release date after that. They're waiting. I'm telling you they're waiting. They will not put a date out for Halo Infinite until there's a date out for Call of Duty.
Yeah, I think we'll find out the official date for Halo. Maybe it's around August, Gamescom time. That's what I think they're going to do. They're not going to go like, okay, well, Call of Duty already announced it. Let's announce it next day.
So let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Who will put a release date out first, Call of Duty or Halo?
Call of Duty.
Okay. I rest my case.
Yeah. But Paris, come on. But we're having a conversation. Like, look, I might be wrong. I just think that this time is not the same as 2007. Like, I think... Okay.
I'm so glad you said 2007. You want to know why?
But wait.
Because 2007 doesn't matter in any of this. Because guess what? Call of Duty was not the monster that it is today in 2007. Modern Warfare was an unknown quantity in 2007. Go back into the history books. Modern Warfare changed the landscape of multiplayer. You know what the monster was in 2007? Halo 3. Not Call of Duty. So no, you keep saying 2007. That is completely irrelevant
to
this.
I'm going to tell you why. Because Halo 3 came out in September instead of November. that year because Call of Duty came out in November.
Had nothing to do with that. You're go back in the history.
Are you serious, Paris?
1,000% I was at Infinity Ward. They didn't even know the hit that they had at the time. No one knew what Call of Duty was going to be in 2007.
That multiplayer demo changed the conversation about Halo.
So you're telling me Microsoft in 2007 with Halo 3 was afraid of Call of Duty Modern Warfare at that time.
Because of a beta. Because of a multiplayer beta.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Look, 2007, because I remember that Xbox had the marketing deal. They decided to release Halo 3 in September instead of the usual November time frame. At that time. And I remember that was the conversation at E3. That was the conversation also when the demo came out was all about Call of Duty in 2007. So why Halo didn't come out in November at that time, Paris?
Because Bungie had it ready ahead of time and wanted to put it out in September.
That's what I heard, but okay, all right,
I'm gonna say is this, and I'm gonna pull cards on this one. I literally went to the community event for Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. I was there at the studio talking to the devs, saw the game. They didn't even know then the Hollywood event that they had afterwards. I went there. There's pictures online. You will see me there. Yes, it was an exciting time. It was a big deal. But do you really think that Call of Duty Modern Warfare had more engagement and more mindshare in the summer of 2007 than Halo 3 did? And that Microsoft looked at that and go, well, gee willikers, we better not put it out in November. Let's move it up to September to get out of the way. That did not happen.
I think it was more of that, but that's just well. Look, the conversation is about 2021. I personally think.
So why did you bring up 2007?
Because it's the look at that time they had a marketing deal. They didn't want to release the same game the same time as the marketing deal they had with Call of Duty. That's one of the reasons why they pushed it in September and November.
But
was
your argument is actually reversed. It would have been Activision that would have blinked and not put Call of Duty out in November if Halo was coming out in November at that time. The same as I'm saying right now in 2021, Microsoft would be the first one to blink and not want to put Halo Infinite out the same time as Call of Duty. And that's why you don't have a release date yet. Go back to the IGN interview that Phil Spencer had. Not even that one. Go back to the one, what was it, double, whatever it was called. The other one that Phil Spencer did. When he talked about Halo Infinite. And he said it's not a matter of months, it's weeks. They just want to make sure to get it right. And there's other things out there. That other thing is Call of Duty. You can't tell me it's not. It is.
Okay. So I personally think Call of Duty is still coming out early November. You still think it's mid?
And that's fine.
Okay. Look, we're just having fun. We haven't done this in a long time. I had to debate with you guys, so it's been a while.
Everybody's saying Paris is right, but Pete's literally not chimed in.
Let Pete chime in, please.
So I have a hypothetical question for both of you. All right.
Yeah.
Let's say, like, we'll go ahead and we'll piggyback on Paris's example. Call of Duty says November 15th, we're releasing. Does Microsoft release a week early, or do they release a week after?
After, because Horizon 5 is the 9th.
I think it's during, but whatever. I think that Horizon 9, it has nothing to do with the release date for Halo. It's more of Call of Duty, I think. Yeah, but go ahead. I think it's...
Here's what I think's going to happen. Call of Duty is going to come out the first week of November. The next week, you're going to get Horizon 5. And then on the anniversary, you're going to get Halo Infinite. I think that's the cadence. I do.
But
until Activision actually says that, Microsoft's not going to announce the date for Halo Infinite. That's what I think.
Do you think that there could be a potential backroom handshake saying, give us this release date? Whether it's official, unofficial, do you think that that's something that's plausible?
Probably not. Microsoft could be like, look,
we're planning on launching date X on the 15th. You know,
probably not, because number one, Microsoft doesn't have a marketing deal with Activision for Call of Duty right now, so they're working with PlayStation. And if anything, the backroom handshake deal would be for Horizon Forbidden West, so that PlayStation knows when they should announce. Think about it. You don't have a release date for that either. It's funny how these other big AAA games don't have a date and they just say they're coming in as holiday. Because I'm telling you, they're waiting on Call of Duty.
But we're focusing on Halo.
Look, I'm just having a conversation. I'm having fun with this, man. You know, it's not nothing serious. But I just feel that Game Pass changed the conversation, in my opinion.
Game Pass has nothing to do with this.
See, look, you see, you didn't let me finish, but okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Paris.
Well, I'm saying that no matter what, and we had this conversation before, studios, when they're working on games now, they're not forced to do certain things because of the sales. Now they have that freedom because of Game Pass, and that's why I'm bringing up Game Pass a lot. That's why, Paris, because I think it's easier for a game to be more successful because there's a lot of subscribers instead of, well, it's a $60 game. Should I buy that? That's what my opinion. But go ahead. You said no, but go ahead, Paris. I'm wrong.
Well, for a couple reasons. Halo is still something that sells retail. Game Pass is an option. Game Pass is not going to dictate when you're going up against other games and you're trying to establish a week for your engagement and your market share. Game Pass has nothing to do with that. Halo's still going to be sold retail. Its PC is going to be sold on Steam as well, right? Not to mention the multiplayer aspect of it, which is going to be a huge selling point for it, is free to play. So you ain't got to buy it anyway. So Game Pass has nothing to do with this. It's about creating engagement and excitement for your game. You don't want to share that spotlight with a game that you know will dominate that conversation. That's all I'm saying. Game Pass has nothing to do with that.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, before we continue with our conversation here on Gamertag Radio, let's talk about our sponsor, Magic Spoon. Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid, but I had to give it up because I realized it was full of sugar and junk that you shouldn't eat. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, especially sugar, and realize I can't eat anything anymore. I've been drinking and also working out a little bit, just walking around here locally in Los Angeles. But I finally found a delicious way to get my protein before or after my walk. And that's what I want to talk about. It's all about Magic Spoon. We're trying to eat better, but healthier breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. Check this out. I've been eating Magic Spoon now for a while, and I love cocoa, fruity, frosted peanut butter, and more. But guess what? It has 0 grams of sugar, 13 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And guess what? Only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-free, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. You can build your own box like the way how I have it, or get the variety pack with available flavors. Like I mentioned, cocoa, fruity, frosted peanut butter, blueberry, and my favorite, cinnamon. So now, GTR listeners, take advantage of this offer. You're not going to find this anywhere else. Go to magicspoon.com/GTR to grab your delicious cereal and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code GTR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And not only that, Magic Spoon is so confident with their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/GTR and use the code GTR to save $5 off. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. And now, let's go to continue the show.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
You want me to give you a hug, man?
See when you lose it when you lose an argument, this is what you do. So okay, continue.
No, I'm just having fun with this, man. Like I personally look, we'll find out once the official date for Call of Duty. By the way, I do have a question for you guys. Who is the developer for this Call of Duty that's coming out? Because I have no idea.
Pretty sure it's Treyarch.
Treyarch?
I thought, right? Pretty sure it was Treyarch this time, right?
It's not Sledgehammer, right? At all?
It is Sledgehammer.
It is?
Oh, okay. It's Sledgehammer? Right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because I think Treyarch was the last 2 years ago.
Yeah, and they're on a 3-year cycle. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
World War II was the last one that they did.
Yeah. Hey, man, look, we're having fun with this, man. You know, I haven't debated with Paris in so long. It's been a long time.
Look, all I'm saying is this.
It's all fun.
We literally litigated this on a phone call a few days ago, and a certain person, third party, interjected and said you were wrong, too. That's all I'm saying. So yeah, I know. We argue all day.
Hey, look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll say in the podcast I was wrong, but I'll still will defend my opinion and thoughts all the way 100%.
Honestly, the one that gets me is the 2007 one. That's the one that gets me because there is no way in hell Microsoft was worried about Call of Duty in 2007 with Halo 3.
Look, man, I already explained to you why I brought up 2007, but okay. All right. Because I remember going to that E3 Paris. Yo, people were not talking about Halo. They were talking about Call of Duty at E3.
Are you crazy?
At E3.
No.
Because of the presentation where they showed. Yeah, dude, I remember. We went to Santa Monica. I remember that. I was like, God damn.
I know. We
were excited about Halo, of course. But everybody's like, yo, Call of Duty, you saw the presentation. Like, even at the party, we saw the graphics at that time of Halo 3 and the graphics for Call of Duty. We're like, holy man, this is next level stuff, man. You know, just saying.
So again, we're going down this road. So you're telling me in 2007, the biggest, E3. The most yes, at that E3, you're going to seriously sit here and tell me the most anticipated, the most talked about game at that E3 was not Halo 3.
After the presentation, it was Call of Duty.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Now, bear with me on this one. They did. Xbox had the craziest marketing that I've ever seen in a game, and it was for Halo 3. You could buy Halo 3 at 7-Eleven, all these other places. Like, it was insane. But I remember the conversation. Everybody was talking about Call of Duty at E3. I was like, yo, but what about Halo? We even met with Bungie at Halo. We talked to them. We did like that speed interview, that thing. They showed us the game too. I still remember this, man. But hey, I'm wrong, but okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, spoiler alert, you're absolutely 1,000% wrong on this, because I don't know what fantasy land you're living in 2007, because we were literally there together. So I seem to remember Halo 3 dominating every conversation that happened. Yes, did Call of Duty look impressive? Was everyone buzzing about, wow, this modern setting? Not denying that at all. Of course it was. But there was two things that dominated E3 2007. Halo 3. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Killzone 2. The fake Killzone 2 trailer. That's what people were talking about back then. And then obviously
was that 2007?
Yes, it was. 2007? Yes, it was. And then obviously you had BioShock, people were talking about Mass Effect was another one. Again, 2007, the greatest video game year ever, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Uncharted, it was, yeah. Rock Band,
but
Crisis.
The biggest game of 2007 BioShock. Was Halo 3.
Orange Box.
I wish I could go back and remember.
I think you're forgetting the Halo 3 beta that happened as well and how anticipated that was. I literally, it was like a Hollywood red carpet event and I went to it. That's how crazy all that was. Yes.
Yeah, it was through Crackdown.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
and Crackdown was in February. Yeah. It was the beginning of the year.
Yes.
No, so. but the Crackdown they were promoting is like, get this game and you will get access to the and Halo 3
beta. You get the Halo 3 beta.
Yeah. Amen.
And all I'm saying is in 2021, the roles have been reversed. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying, and look, Halo Infinite, I do think is going to be an amazing game. I think, you know, getting Joe Staten in there, the extra year that they had, I think they're going to nail the story. The multiplayer looks fun. I have no doubt about that. But if I am not going to sit here and act like Halo Infinite has any business trying to go head to head with Call of Duty in 2021. Because it will lose. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and I get it. Because look, the whole conversation was about, man, it will be iconic if Xbox released that game on November 15th. That was the conversation. And then it was, we brought up Call of Duty. I'm like, man, I don't know, man. Like, I wish they still release it because it's once in a lifetime, dude. Like, it's 20 years. You know what I'm saying? And that would be the perfect time to celebrate the 20th anniversary not only of Halo but also of Xbox. That was the whole point. And then we brought up Call of Duty, and then that's when everything just went like all over the place after that, you know. But I still think that it will be awesome if they could do it. Paris, think if Call of Duty comes out that week, it's not gonna happen. But
which, okay, again, we'll see. You know, serious talk for a sec.
Yeah,
I think Halo Infinite comes out on the 20-year anniversary, and I think Call of Duty comes out the first week of November. I mean, clearly COVID can change anything. We simply don't know yet. But my whole argument the entire time has just simply been you will not get a release date for Halo Infinite until you see a release date for Call of Duty. And they can adjust accordingly. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just going to leave it as that. And we're going to move forward. Anything else before we wrap it up? Anything else?
I don't know.
It was a great conversation.
I don't know. Pete barely talked. I don't even know what Pete thinks about it.
I don't know.
Hey, Pete, I didn't need to.
You want to say anything, Pete?
Nah, man. I mean, look. At the end of the day, we know Call of Duty is the undisputed king of the holiday season. It's very likely why EA said, you know what, we'll just take October and see y'all later. we don't want to stay, you know. And we already know about, you know, EA's gaffe with Respawn and Titanfall launching in between Battlefield and Call of Duty. And we saw what happened to that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's very difficult to try to compare Halo and Titanfall in general, even if it's a highly anticipated Titanfall 1. Still, this is Halo Infinite. This is probably the most anticipated Halo of all time at this point in time, just because of what we saw last year. The year of holdups, as you said, Joe Staten. All of our responses and reactions after the game launched, or after E3 and the Microsoft showcase. But now we're already starting to see small puzzles. I mean, we saw, you know, Battlefield in October. We've got a few games that are going to be shifting back and forth. We've got, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn right there on November 9th. Do they go at the beginning of, you know, November 2nd, or do they shift below if Call of Duty goes and says, okay, here we go? Or do they release in September like they did in 2007?
Nah, they're not going to release in September just for the simple fact they got to do all these flights for the multiplayer beta. We're probably not going to start seeing those until August. That would just be way too tight of a turnaround, in my opinion.
Yeah. Nah, you're right.
Look, I'm literally looking at the calendar right now. Call of Duty is going to come out on November 2nd. Forza is going to come out.
That's on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, Friday.
It's a Tuesday. So that week, let's just say that week. Forza Horizon 5 is locked in on the 9th. And then we're going to get a big weekend 20-year anniversary celebration, 13th, 14th for Xbox. And then boom, right at midnight, Halo Infinite releases that Monday morning, November 15th. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
My guess anyways, because I don't know anything. I'm just guessing. But to me, that seems to make the most sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I definitely think that Call of Duty will come out early November. But we'll see. Anything could change. You know, so, all right, so we're going to wrap it up here and probably going to do the after show here on Twitch. But thank you for listening to episode 1145 here, Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny. We also have Paris in the house and also Pete. Make sure to head over to GamerTagRadio.com, put your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamer Tag Radio. We're there. Subscribe, follow us, post a review. It will help us out. big time here, man. Also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion or segment, here's how you contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. And until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.